Hey, Tunes and Tumblers fam, it's your host, Anthony. We've got a lot of great interviews coming up in the next few weeks, but before then, I thought we'd take another look back at some more greatest hits in the TNT canon. I actually wasn't present during this time capsule episode, but it's still one of my favorites. Ryan took over the host seat so well that I almost thought that I was out of a job. And it helped that our guest was one of the more knowledgeable and interesting people we've gotten the chance to interview. He's the frontman of an Oklahoma rock band who have shot into the mainstream since our conversation last summer. Their single Headright is currently in the top 30 of the Billboard Rock Airplay charts and climbing, and they're coming off of a whirlwind television performance on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Tunes and Tumblers fam, please enjoy our little rerun of our chat with Max Rayner of Will Dorado. Cheers.
Welcome to Tunes and Tumblers by Atwood Magazine. Listening to music is more than just an auditory experience. Tunes and Tumblers explores the way our senses mingle by pairing new and classic albums with cocktail and mocktail recipes. We invite you to bring out your inner mixologist as we approach the music we love from a unique, immersive, and thoroughly delicious perspective. So put up your feet, put up your paws, whatever it may be, and enjoy a cold one on us. I'm your host, Ryan, and as you've probably guessed, Anthony has stepped out for the day. Said something about needing a self-care day, I guess inspired by our open mic talk, which we all know means a trip to the Hollywood Walk of Fame where he wanders around Madame Tussauds, followed by a trip across the street to Hooters. I think I can speak for everyone, I say, if only all our days could look like that. But as they say, the show must go on, so I'm here to steer this podcast into port. I guess people also say that. Please grab your emergency flotation device responsibly. And of course, we all know drinking alone is a sad, sad business, so I mounted the Minion statue atop Universal Studios and whistled the John Cage tune to summon anyone with mixology experience who would listen. And he is.
Pedro, your mixologist.
And I am, I'm your host, Ryan, of course.
You're not Anthony.
Shit, yeah, he caught me. So we've been looking forward to today's guest for a long time. He's the lead singer and guitarist for an expansive indie trio out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. They fuse soaring the three-part harmonies and rumbling guitars with an open road, Americana-inspired feel that they've ridden to the tune of over 50 million streams. They've played alongside artists like Lindsey Buckingham, Christine McVie, and Atwood Magazine favorites Mount Joy, and performed on the main stage of Bottle Rock, Austin City Limits, and Lollapalooza, although they unfortunately didn't open for Limp Bizkit this year. Their first full-length album is set to drop October 15th, and we're here to talk all about the first three singles that have already made a splash at AAA radio. Tunes and Tumblers fam, please welcome Max Rayner of Will Dorado to the pod.
Phew.
Cool. Thanks. Great intro.
Sure thing. Lots to be excited about here. I think Anthony...
Where are you guys? First of all, it's always kind of nice for me to know.
Yeah, we're scattered over the Southland ruins, Los Angeles area, Sierra Madre.
And I'm in San Diego, currently.
Okay, rad.
Crucially, sweet. Not San Marcos, San Diego. And you are in Tulsa, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Tulsa, Oklahoma, right here in the middle of it.
And you guys, it's safe to say you're a Tulsa band at this point, right? Because I know you've been in LA before, right?
Yeah, we, started the band in LA, but we are very much Tulsa band and proud of it, tell you the truth.
That's great. Well, before we get to the show, we have to catch up a little bit.
Sweet.
What has everyone been listening to for the past week? Pedro, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, sure. This past week, I've been listening to a few things. Friend of the pod, Curio Watts, recently came out with a cover of Katy Perry's Teenage Dream. It's a lot slower, a lot sweeter, and I actually kind of like it compared to the original. I like it a little more. So that's been good. Chemical Brothers came out with The Darkness That You Fear and another single called Work Energy Principle that I've been enjoying. And... Foster the People had the Torches had its 10th anniversary this year, I believe. So I've just sort of been listening back to Torches by them, especially like Call It What You Want's my favorite track off of that album. So I've just been sort of going back and listening to some older stuff.
Love it. A lot on the docket. What about you, Max?
Honestly, I've been listening to If It Makes You Happy by Sheryl Crow over and over again.
Love it.
It's I'm honestly kind of in a place right now where I'm trying to decide if there's a better intro guitar sound. Just totally rules, in my opinion. So I think we're going to maybe try to cover that song in this set we're trying to put together if we're allowed to ever play music again. So I've kind of been simultaneously fanboying on the tune and trying to just hear it a lot to learn it.
Dig it.
Okay, that makes sense. It's good to know that it's for practice and for eventual performance and not just for another reason, you know, because you could have been in a dark place there.
Well, it is kind of remarkable how much I relate to the song. It's basically just how we tour. It's our lives. It's crazy. All the verses are, it's just, I feel like I can see through her eyeballs when I listen to it. But yeah, cool tune, man. I'm not gonna lie, that song rules.
It's a good song.
Indeed. Well, I got the new Hippocampus single out. It's called Sex Tape.
Oh, dope.
And it's got a great line in it. I wish you the best. I genuinely mean that. And I'm sorry about the diss track, but I genuinely mean that. And I love the idea of apologizing for a diss track that you've made and also genuinely meaning someone well.
And yet still releasing the diss track.
Yeah, exactly. I also would love to just hear a Hippocampus diss track. But I love those guys. If you really want to feel old, go to a Hippocampus show and bring a raincoat all the saliva flying everywhere from the braces in the crowd.
They're awesome.
They're incredible musicians, right? It kind of blows me away.
Yeah, and you're right. They're shockingly young.
They are young, and the fans are young. It's quite the it's quite the show. It's like it's great. Well, there's also another connection. I also want to shout out another band I've been revisiting, where I think we both know this man, Max, Mr. Jordan Hook of Baxter Elkins.
No way. How do you know Jordan? He's one of my favorite people on the face of the planet, and he's going to be here tomorrow here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Did you know that?
You know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I let him know that I was interviewing you, and he told me that. So I did know, and I was like, holy shit. What are the odds? I've known Jordan through a few years through his significant other, and who I've known
so
a long
cool.
time. And so I've seen him perform so many times, and he's been getting better and better. And the new project, Baxter Elkins, is fantastic. I think they're really establishing themselves as players in the kind of, you know, LA Americana, kind of old fiddle tune scene, but also bringing a fresh kind of perspective to it.
I mean, if you want to make this whole podcast about how much I like Jordan Hook, we could probably do that. I don't think that's... Maybe that's not what you want to do, but I just want you to know I'm game for that. When he finished that, I don't know if they're calling it an EP or a record or whatever the body of work is, but he mailed it to me in the snail mailed it to me with the little note and a tiny little piece of bud, a little bit of flower, and he said smoke. Smoke this in your pipe and then put on this record. So that's what I did. And I sat right outside the building I'm in now and listened to the whole thing and loved it. It was honestly one of my favorite just kind of listening experiences I've ever had, given like, you know, everything that went into it. It was really cool.
Wow. Quite the review there. Quite the endorsement.
That's awesome.
I did not get a bud, unfortunately, with my copy on CD.
You weren't on the PR list.
I was not, no. But I did love the album. And I do love, if you ever get a chance to see these guys live, they're just really, they're kind of brilliant at mining a lot of the folk tune canon and They broke one out recently called Jack of Diamonds that I just loved. So got a shout out to them. Shout out to Jordan. He's a good old Huck Finn type who just loves to take apart clocks, go fishing, and just playing goof.
Just playing goof.
So let's move on.
Big love.
Big love to Jordan Hook and Baxter Elkins in general. So let's get the hell in the bar. We got to get in the bar, folks. We've been spending too long outside contemplating the bud. And it's time for the getting carded segment. So before we do this, though, as a quick reminder, every song that we mention on the podcast goes straight onto the accompanying playlist that we make on Spotify. So if I wanted, for instance, to talk about the extensive back catalog of Alvin and the Chipmunks, it's going on. It's going on. We're going to have some real ASMR on our hands. So Anthony left me the keys to the bar, so I guess it's time to let us in. Max, did you bring anything to show the bouncer?
Yeah, I did. This is the, you know, we're kind of getting ready for live again, so we had to put together a new stage plot. And so I drew this, and I'm going to use this as my ID because there's actually a picture of me right in the middle. So here we go.
Love it.
So wait a second. This is the like the backdrop. This is behind you while you play.
No, but that would be awesome. Like what's it called? When you advance a show, we're coming to your venue. The promoter there, whoever is running the venue, gets kind of the band advance with our stage plot, our rider, our input list.
Oh,
I see.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so this is the stage plot, so they can kind of know what their stage will look like while we're on it.
That's awesome.
I understand. Yeah, got it. For folks who don't know what a writer is and, you know, all this stuff, you might know the famous story of Van Halen only wanting blue M&Ms in the bowl. This is what it refers to. I imagine the Wilderado writer is quite extensive, right?
It's pretty sick, I'm not going to lie.
Well, we're in the bar. It never ceases to amaze me that we still have our liquor license at this bar, considering everything that we accept as identification. We had a guest, Dobby the Nomad, who brought in a chicken strip from Hardee's, and that worked. But then again, I've never heard of anyone calling ABC on a podcast. But hey, might be good for publicity.
We could be the first.
What's that?
We could be the first.
We could be the first. We strive to. So this is the part of the show where Anthony would ask me to introduce what we're listening to today. Pedro, I suppose you could do the honors and lead me in if you felt like it.
Ryan, here's $20. Can you go over to the jukebox and tell us what we're listening to today?
I can. We got a special jukebox that only plays unreleased music. Because this album, I think, when this episode drops, this album will be a month out from release, but we are focusing on the singles. So we are listening to the debut LP from Wilderado. It is self-titled, and it is out in October 2021 on Bright Antenna Records. A lot to work with here. Three different teasers for the very first Wilderado album. Pedro, do you have anything to pair with them?
I certainly do. I know that we're focusing on three singles for as far as the discussion, but I'm definitely taking inspiration from all of it because I got to hear it early. So when I was listening to this album and the singles in particular, my overall sort of feeling that I was getting that it was sort of putting me through was this feeling of being somewhere, but constantly sort of daydreaming about being somewhere else or with someone else, just like in a whole different place and just sort of never truly being present, not necessarily in a bad way, but just sort of being in this sort of daydreamy headspace wherever you were. And so I just sort of started thinking about, there's mentions of like summer in this album and like astronauts and all kinds of stuff like that. And I really enjoyed it. So as far as the drink, I know Max, you enjoy tequila, from what I'm told. That's where we're beginning with this. I started thinking about, you know, drinks that sort of make me think of a getaway of some kind. So I kind of wanted to come up with something sort of like a slushy drink, something you might drink on vacation, as it were. And tequilas usually lend themselves pretty good to being blended, especially when you think of margaritas and things like that. So we've got tequila, first of all. And I decided, sort of as a nod to the idea of astronauts, and to throw in Tang, just some good, really like citrusy Tang. And then you guys are an Oklahoma band, as you stated, and as I've read, strawberries are sort of a big deal in Oklahoma. So I'm also adding some strawberry daiquiri mix to this. And I myself am not a huge fan of sweet drinks, so I had to sort of balance it out with a good amount of lime juice, just to sort of cut it and give it some sourness as well, a little bit of bitters, and then throwing a bunch of ice in it and blending it up. And so it's a nice slushy, like a good summery color. But the tang of it, I mean, it's a good drink to sort of feel like you're elsewhere, maybe on vacation, but the tang of it will definitely bring you right back to the present and make you plant your feet for sure. Topped it with some whipped cream, just sort of for fun, and threw some strawberries in there. And I'm calling it a memory eraser. And if you look in the chat on the Zoom, there is a photo of it for you to check out.
Wow. God, that sounds fantastic.
It is really good. I actually made it. I made it today and I was sipping it. And then my friend got home who lives here. And she took it from me. She finished it. She said it was really good. But yeah, if you want to check it out.
Amazing.
Yeah, there is a photo of it in the Zoom if you want to check that out. But yeah,
this is a lyric line in the record.
Exactly.
Yep. My man. Brad.
Well, can we say, folks, he's done it again. A memory eraser.
It's a great, great summer drink.
You know, at first I thought you were going down like a tequila sunrise kind of direction there, but you completely caught me off guard there.
And it's been done.
I wish I could have this drink. Instead, I am drinking some whiskey on ice out of a cup from Jimmy's Egg, a Norman, Oklahoma restaurant, out of respect.
Out of the utmost respect.
I know you guys aren't from Norman, Max. You're in Tulsa, but as close as I could get.
Man, Jimmy's Egg, yeah, good spot. Still, there is a Jimmy's Egg in Tulsa.
Of course, I knew that, which is why, yeah,
love it.
I love a good hungover meal from Jimmy's Egg. Well, I think talking about tequila sunrises, I'm thinking of the Eagles, and we're talking about Tulsa. So I think this leads in nicely to this conversation here. I really love the sound that you guys have, and I know Anthony would say the same. Like we kind of alluded to earlier, he's definitely like a mega fan. So Paste has called you guys South Central Americana meets Laurel Canyon vibe. And on this new album, I'm hearing some familiar sounds. I'm hearing some of my favorite sounds of the 2000s. By way of some heartland bands like The Killers, a lot of expansive, imaginative indie rock, some of the brisk blues folk of the districts a little bit. But so you guys are from Tulsa, but it's not always apparent necessarily in the music. I guess I'm wondering how Tulsa informs the sound or influences the band.
I think more than anything, we just put a lot of energy into not trying to keep something from happening. And I think we all grew up in this part of the world. Country music is a thing. I think I've been listening to country music a lot more in the last 5 years than I think I ever have. Kind of some older country music. There's a great country music station here in town that plays kind of, you know, all the way back to the beginning of country music to, you know, do some of the good stuff still in the 90s, etc. But I just think there's not a whole lot of intention on it. There's more of an intention placed on just not keeping something from happening. And I think we all like rock and roll. We like fast tempos and guitars and indie music and synthesized music. But at the same time, I think it's cool to let our voices and our melodies kind of just do what they're going to do. And I think a lot of the Tulsa sound, you know, is rooted in some southern rock music and some blues and some funk. And yeah, man, I think I try to just be inspired by it all. There's so many great players here in town, to tell you the truth. The last little bit now that kind of the clubs have been open up again. It's been fun going in and hearing guys. I mean, I would rival anybody in Nashville or LA with the players here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it's you can go back as far as you want on a history of that. It's always been the case and still is today. So it's a really cool thing to be from here. I'm not so sure I can say we are a Tulsa sound or you should make us a representative of that by any means, but we're definitely proud of the sounds that have come from Tulsa. And yeah, does that answer your question?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, that's what's so interesting. To be honest, I was not always aware of the quote unquote Tulsa sound. And a friend of mine who's up in Moore had to kind of school me on it a bit. And I think it's vast, I think, but I think, you know, JJ Cale, right, Leon Russell are kind of the main ones, wouldn't you say, of that?
Steve Ripley. Yeah, it's a fun thing to do. If ever you're bored, just pop it into Google. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, the stories that Tulsa has weaved its way into classic rock and roll and all the way through modern times.
I've heard it described as roughness delivered with precision and polish.
Gosh, what am I doing here, dude? You should be answering all your own questions. That's great. That's yeah.
Do you think that it describes
really is.
It?
I mean,
in some ways, that makes me think of
think
your sound in a way.
Well, I was going to say, I would never say that to describe us, but if someone wanted to, that would be sick. But I think just from
I'm
what I've heard here in this town, that's a great way to put it. I mean, I just can't believe the way people can sing and play. Just the players here are just so insane.
Yeah, this is what I hear, you know, and you were talking about, you know, Nashville a bit, which made me think of a quote you had that I really liked, which was you were talking to someone named Angelo, who, I correct me if I'm wrong, was a producer on this album, on the new album.
Yeah, he was he kind of co-produced Head Right.
I see. Okay. Well, I really like this quote. Sometimes the best way to ruin a song, a life, or anything really is to take it too seriously. I really loved that quote. Did you find yourself having those moments when making the album where you felt like it was becoming too serious when you were making the album? And how did you move away from that or deal with that?
I absolutely did. I think that's a hard thing to try and realize, though, in the moment, the idea of taking something too seriously, because, I mean, for us, this is a serious thing. And it's something we do want to take seriously and to put all of our energy and, you know, best selves into. But I think you can also find yourself just holding it too tightly and overanalyzing and second guessing. And I think if I was to say that again, I would want to put more of that language into describing what I was meaning. I think we recorded so much and then came back and just scrutinized it pretty heavily, and it ended up being really beneficial and playing in our favor the majority of the time. But on some of it, I think we just started getting in our heads too much, and we started to just be too concerned with things that are unnecessary. So I think we had to, while we were making the record and recording it, I think we were a good amount of serious, but once we were done and we had some things to listen to, I think that's when we kind of, there was a moment where we got into our heads a little bit. And really, funny enough, it was only about Head Right. It was mostly just about that tune. I think we kind of just started to disassociate from the moment we wrote it and how just naturally it happened. I think sometimes when you have a song that just naturally happens that way, you spend a lot of time trying to make it cool or trying to make it something else. And at the end of the day, the only way we could really figure out that tune was to just kind of have it be a basher all the way through. And I think
a basher all the way through. So did it have sort of a different structure at one time? Like, did it change?
No, it never really did, but we tried like 20 different versions of it, to tell you the truth. I think there were some of us who connected to the song more than others, and we went in and out of enjoying it. I just think it's when it came down to it, that song said something that I wanted to be in the record. And yeah, I guess when I say a basher, I mean, if you look at the shape of that song, if you look at the wave, it's basically just a block all the way through. You know what I mean? There's really a breath in that tune.
Right out the gate. Yeah.
Yeah, right out the gate.
Strong mercy beat.
I think there was just some components to that that we'd stopped enjoying for a little bit. But now in hindsight, I'm proud of the way it turned out. And I think it just kind of, it says what it needed to say in the way that it needed to say it. And yeah, it was just kind of an interesting journey with that tune.
Well, it's interesting how the journey of the tune is also reflected in the lyrics in some way. That's got to be interesting, right? Where you're saying things, you know, why can't I calm my mind enough to see what I might find? And you're trying to discover this and figure out this process. It's interesting to have it play out that way.
Yeah, and I was talking to somebody about that song recently, and I think part of my frustration with it is just not being able to figure out how to do what I'm trying to figure out how to do in the tune, lyrically, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just so straightforward, but everyone always tells you over and over, man, just like, calm down, calm down, calm down. It's like, can't calm down. I can't calm down. You know what I mean? I'd love to calm down, but I know I'm supposed to calm down. How do I calm down? That, you know what I mean? That sort of thing. And I think all that's kind of present in that tune. There is such a racing aspect sometimes to trying to take a moment and push away all the things that are trying to keep you all wired up.
Indeed. How can we calm down? That's a question I think we find ourselves revisiting over and over again with our guests. I think with all of us, especially over the last 2 years, I think it's just interesting to see songs kind of take on new meanings as time goes by as well. I think what's so interesting about this is that one of the singles, like Surefire, dropped in 2019. Is that right?
Mm, yeah.
So the lyrics around that, I mean, there's a whole great backstory to this. I encourage folks to look in interviews where it's been explored more, but it was inspired by a Tabitha King poem, and you're kind of touching on this idea of coming out of hibernation, which is wild because this was in 2019 before COVID. So it just happens to be one of these incredible songs where it has this new meaning in 2021, right? Where many of us are coming out of hibernation, so to speak. Is that a strange experience watching as the world changes? And do you find yourself having to address that, like with the current times changing, with meaning changing and such?
You mean, am I having to address, do these songs feel like they're changing to me as the world's changing?
Yeah. How do you, yeah. Sorry, I guess that was an awkwardly worded
no
question, I think what Ryan's looking for is like, what does it feel like to see these songs change as time goes on?
I mean, I think I know it feels amazing. I that's one of my favorite things about writing songs. I've been reading about this concept of like first thought when you write, which basically is just allowing yourself to have the opportunity to have a good first thought and like kind of procuring the environment of, I'm going to free write and not try and say one thing or be too precious with what I'm writing, but I'm going to diligently come and write and write and write, because usually the best stuff is that just kind of accidental first thought, not the straining and straining to say what it is that's on your mind. You know what I mean? And I've always found that with songs that I finally connect to, or lyrics of mine that I finally connect to, is lots of times I just don't know what I was saying, and it was just kind of there. And so when, as time goes on, I mean, lots of times songs make sense to me now that never did. And I found that some with this record. Yeah. And like you said, with Surefire, it's so interesting. That's such an interesting perspective on it, because Surefire I wrote before Headwrite. And it was, I was tripping balls on this, the writing experience. I was just having such a hard time with it. I think I was depressed and I was so lonely and trying to figure out myself, my head, and being gone from my family and et cetera, et cetera. And I just kind of didn't want to write songs anymore. And I wrote Surefire, and it was just totally on accident. It was such a beautiful experience, to tell you the truth. But yeah, it is kind of weird. It is weird how that works, isn't it? But I enjoy that. I think that's sometimes for me a test of what I enjoy and am proud of is like how much has it continued to make sense in different ways as time moves along from the moment I wrote it.
Right. Absolutely. And that's a little bit, I mean, this is another theme you kind of explored in some way, I guess, on Help Me Down, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but this was based off of kind of, you'd excavated an old voice memo, and this had been kind of a song that had been unfinished for some time. So what about it connected? How did you connect to it in the present? Why do you feel like you found that inspiration to kind of finish it for this album?
Well, I think I just, when I wrote that, I remember I was in college and was just struggling with my faith. And then finding it 10 years later, I was in a place where I was needing to, and just constantly trying to figure out how to be present. And I think I realized that that's something that people can be with you through the process of figuring it out, but it's not something that someone can figure out for you. And I just thought that, you know, that was Help Me Down, Don't Pick Me Up was such a great way of stating that. And honestly, we were looking for a last song. And so that I just had the second verse just came really easily. Mm. And yeah, it was really interesting. That was a cool moment, to tell you the truth. I'll never forget finishing that song.
And did you guys, so going back to college, so you guys, you've known most of the band since then, right? That's where you guys kind of found the foundation of the band.
Yeah, and Justin even longer back in high school, but he and I just kind of would cross paths. We never really knew each other until he came out to LA to be in the band. But yeah, Tyler and I went to Baylor University together down in Waco, Texas.
Ah, I see. Yeah. It's looking, you know, and you've spoken on the song before, looking for people who are willing to go the low moments with you. It's beautiful that you've known the guys in the band so long and you've gone on this journey together. It's a rare thing to be able to stick it out that long, right?
I think so too. And I think that's part of the reasons we have is some people will go there with you or you go there with them and then everything changes. But vice versa, you go there with somebody and you come back up together, and I think that's when you have, you know, those sweet relationships that are worth holding on to.
I was just gonna say, from your time in Texas, you know, usually going to college and moving somewhere else sort of usually, you know, it influences you in ways, it opens your eyes to new things. What do you think, if anything, did you take from your time in Texas into, you know, your music and like the way you write now, or like what influence has it had on you, do you think?
I would say a lot. First and foremost, just because I didn't start writing songs until I was in Texas. So that's where I just started doing it. And I think I had this moment in college, honestly, listening to that, the head and the heart. I think it was their first record. What do you guys remember what that was called? Whatever it was. I remember listening to that record and just thinking, man, writing songs is so much less about like being profound and more about just kind of saying what you're feeling, saying what's going on. Or like, God, I just remember listening to that record and it just totally opened my mind to the possibility of writing songs. Because before it was like, I like to sing. I liked to play guitar. I liked to do that with other people, but I found it just so hard to write songs and say things. What do you say? You know what I mean? It's like writing a song is like the ultimate experience of starting the essay, or it's like, how do you start the essay? But that record was such a massive thing for me, because I just remember it was just so easy and straightforward and simple, and yet it just kind of hits you. And there's so many moments in that record that just kicked me right in the gut. I thought, damn, I'd love to write songs like this. And that was actually right when I wrote Help Me Down.
We've definitely discussed that before on the podcast too, though, with other guests, like simplicity and even sometimes being vague in writing makes it all the more relatable and
totally
gives it like some lasting power.
Yeah, there's a really special thing with that. I always think that's like the sweet spot with lyrics, is going back and forth between the specific and the vague. When someone does that well, I just think it totally rules.
Yeah, absolutely. The key to brilliant songwriting. I hadn't made that connection to the head and the heart. That's really good to know, and it makes total sense. For the record, that first album is a self-titled album.
The head and the heart. Oh, yeah, cool.
As the first Wildorado full-length will be.
Yeah.
It's kind of blown my mind that you haven't had an album up until this point. It feels like you have.
I think we've got 30 songs on Spotify or something like that. There's a lot of music.
What made you decide then to... I mean, so many bands... I guess you can just sort of do that, right? You could just release singles and EPs forever. What made you want to do an album? It's a broad question.
Well, I mean, it's an easy thing to answer. That's what we set out to do. That's what we started by doing. I mean, the band started by making a record, and we ended up putting it out as two EPs. And so I think that was a great idea. I mean, I think that was the right move, because we had never played shows before, really, and we didn't have any other music. And we started working with this management right off the bat, and they just thought, you know what, let's break this up and get these guys on the road. We'll have two bodies of work finished that we can release over a period of time, and we can just get these guys playing. And so that's what we did. And like Chicken Fried Steak, we put that song out over the pandemic. That was from that first set of recordings, and we just never put it on anything. I think some of it, although I think that was the right thing to do, and I'm glad we were allowed ourselves to be coachable on that, it was a bit heartbreaking, because that was a period in time. We made a record, you know what I mean? And it was a record, and we mixed it as a record, and then we put it out as two EPs. And so I think ever since then, we've been chasing putting out a record, because that's how we started the band, and there was just never time or money to do that, because it takes a lot of both of those things.
Right. That's so interesting. I didn't realize that about the two EPs. That does have to be a surreal experience, right? To spend the time with sequencing and imagining it one way, and then having it come out a completely different way.
Yeah, and I think it kind of falls into the category of like, what would have happened if we had done it the other way around? I don't know, but I will say that I think it could be fair for that decision to be scrutinized and maybe looked at the wrong choice. But as we do with anything, that's just what we did. I think we wanted to self-title this record simply because it's our first one, and I've always thought that's a cool thing to do. I've just always thought that was cool. It's kind of like, you know, it is a little bit strange for us too, having so much music out and putting out a record. But when you look back on this, no one's going to remember that. We'll always just remember our first record. Then it'll be Wildorado, and it feels like us. I feel like something I set out to do and really am proud of is kind of encompassing all the different kinds of writing that we've done over the years as a band, and kind of I feel like every version of something we've put out is represented in this record, which I honestly think is a huge accomplishment for me. I love that we were able to do that.
Absolutely. I agree. Well, we're very excited for it, and it's been coming for a while, and boy, it's coming out October. I think when this episode drops, it'll be September. It's going to come up really fast, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'm pretty excited.
And you alluded to doing some performances earlier. So you guys have some plans to tour this, hopefully, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, we do. I guess when this comes out, that'll all be announced. So when we announce the release, we'll announce the tour and all the other stuff. It's going to be spring, though. But I think we're doing just kind of some one-off dates through the rest of the year, which will be cool. Make a little bit of money and then keep recording and rehearsing and putting the band back together.
Hell yeah. Can't wait. Well, I think we're coming up a little bit on time here, I'm afraid, though I feel like we'd love to keep talking as long as we could.
Can I ask one question just out of curiosity real quick before we wrap it up?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
So, I mean, we've been discussing, you know, the way you write and how personal a lot of this music is to you specifically. What does it feel like when you've spent so much time with it and it does come from, you know, these personal places? What does it feel like to, just as an artist, to have that out there and you have to just sort of let it go and let everyone else take it in? Like, what does that feel like to you? Especially when the tracks can be so personal.
It feels like a lot of different things. I think we'd have to probably break it down into different categories, but I think mostly it feels really good because I've just worked so hard on it. And I think sometimes, especially over this last 2 years, it's been hard to work this hard on something and not really have anything to show for it. And I think I have this, we have had this record to show ourselves and to kind of use to energize us through this time period. Just kind of harboring the excitement of knowing that it will come out. But, you know, it's interesting having done this and met people who listen to our band and received sweet messages from people who listen to our band over this time of being at home. I just appreciate the people that listen to our music so much, and they've been so honest about how it makes them feel. And I just kind of, it feels good to be able to give them something else, to give them more, you know what I mean? Just because they've been so cool to us. And you know what I'm saying? Trying to keep us our heads up and keep us wanting to make music. So I'm more than anything, I'm just excited to give it back to the people that I feel like have just been giving and giving and giving to us while we've been at home.
Well, to quote,
should we
the
go
fans
back and talk about Jordan Hook a little bit more?
we stand Jordan Hook. What can we say, folks?
I'm sorry, I cut you off. What were you going to say? To quote what?
No. No, it's great. We should have Jordan Hook on. We really should.
Man, that'd be fun.
If he's available, of course. The man is busy. He's got many, many hobbies and projects.
Man, he does.
Incredible fishing game. I wasn't just joking when I said he's likes to fish. I don't know about the part about taking apart clocks, but I do know about the fishing.
Does he take apart clocks?
No, I don't know where that came from. I just threw that out there. He might.
It's now part of the lore.
Knowing him,
it has to be a pretty empowering thing to do, is to take a cross or take apart a clock and make time stop and then put it back together and be in control of that, right? That's got to feel pretty cool.
It's purely for the power trip that he does it.
Is the power trip endeavor, isn't it?
I'm taking my life back.
He just stands there and looks at all the scattered pieces, just grinning to himself.
Yeah.
God, I want to take apart a fucking clock now.
I know, man.
The power.
Well, to quote fan favorite Morning Light, it's one last call and we're feeling drunk again. Are there any lingering thoughts, folks, before we move on to our next segment?
From me?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, from anywhere. Drew, for that matter.
Yeah, Drew, what
Drew
you
is
got?
Afoot. Drew is afoot. Drew is about. He is at large. It's all right if not.
The water's not trickling again, is it?
Man, no, I was going to say, my only lingering thought is, that was crazy. That happening. I sat back down in this chair with an absolute racing heart. Like, yeah. That was a wild thing to have happen in the middle of this.
It would have shut down my whole day. You took care of it in like 15 minutes.
I just cannot believe how much water there was. It just happened so fast how much water there was. You know, this building is so, the ground is so unlevel. And I think that saved the day because it's just tipping to the south here, and I think the water was just pooled against the wall. I mean, it could have been so bad.
You could just call that the flood safety feature.
And you know what's wild is we've had all of our gear flooded before. It was in LA, Is this what you meant by lingering thoughts, or should we move on?
Yes, absolutely.
No, continue. Okay. Continue.
We were renting a little place in Inglewood, which there were so many crazy moments there. It was so awesome, but it was in a basement of this apartment complex, and it was like a pool, basically, that was just all concrete. And one night, I wasn't in town, but I got a call, one of our buddies was in there, just went to randomly check on something, and the sewer main had broken in the apartment
Holy
complex,
shit.
And all of our gear was about a foot and a half in poo water.
Oh, damn.
And somehow, those guys, there was like a staircase that went up to a little garage, and they just piece by boobies carried all of our stuff up from that disaster. And it was, that was a long, terrible night, wondering what was going on. It wasn't as bad for me as it was for the guys that were actually standing in the shit water. But so I've got some that brought back some flashback panic for sure.
Oh no.
Flash flood flashbacks. Good God.
Lingering water stains.
Man.
Ooh.
But all good. Took care of business, right? That's what I'm talking about. I don't know how that ended up so well. After this is done, I'll go and see what all is ruined. But I just had some coated cables. I mean, no connections were even in water. It was just all cable. So I think technically I'm good. We'll find out.
Well, fingers crossed, my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah, see, this is, you handled it, I thought, pretty well under pressure. See, the difference between you and me is I probably would have panicked and called the police.
Well, there was a moment of that. There was a moment of that. Whatever.
Yeah,
it's all done with.
It's all done. Well, as Dr. Jacoby in Twin Peaks, The Return says, keep shoveling through the shit. And with that we will do. Well, it's been lovely talking, but I think it's time for us to move into one of our favorite segments, hashtag mood. Are you guys ready to play?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
This is where we test our playlist building skills with a voicemail. Can you hit that theme, Drew, and cue it up? Always great to hear the theme. This is hashtag mood, where we test our playlist building skills. We have a voicemail, I think. Don't we, Drew?
You have one new message.
Hey guys, it's Anthony. Hope everything is going good over there. Thanks for taking the reins while I have my little self-care day. Tell you what, I'm already feeling so much more relaxed, having gone and put my hands in the little imprints at the Chinese theater and watching the Joker fight with a giant Pikachu. Tell you what, it really centers me. But I'll tell you how I've been feeling recently. I just finished midterms, and it was just a rough week, the roughest week that I have had this year. I think I've slept in the past 7 days a grand total of 10 hours, and it's starting to get a little weird. Do you remember college when you would just pull back-to-back all-nighters, and by the third night, things would start getting a little strange? For me, I'm starting to hear inanimate objects talking to me. So I went to heat up a piece of toast the other morning, and the toaster was like, that'd be good with butter. So here's your mood. You have been awake so long that you're starting to get culinary advice from your appliances. What do you do? What do you listen to? Maybe it's time to go to bed. Maybe it's time to push through. I don't know. Go either direction with that, or with whatever direction you want to, like, really cope with this insanity. Well, hopefully I will be back on my feet and ready to host again next week, but you know, thoughts and prayers. Let's hope I get through this. Peace, y'all.
I dozed off about halfway through that. It was so long.
we got there eventually.
Sounds like Anthony decided to watch The Brave Little Toaster, which he could have just saved us a whole lot of time and just said that.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Man, that would be a great film to revisit.
Absolutely.
It was had some fairly disturbing sequences.
Dude, it was dark. That movie was straight up dark.
Well, boy, what a mood, Anthony. Well, we hope you are feeling better soon, friend. Get some dang sleep. Snort that melatonin and get some rest. All right. Let's do this, guys. Who'd like to kick us off in this madness of the mood that Anthony has dumped all over us? Pedro, how do you feel?
Say guests first.
Guests first.
Is that me?
You are guest.
That sounds like, I have to say, just a terrible place to be. Not sleeping is a terrible thing. There's a song called Picando Leve by a band called Oterno. Do you guys know them?
I do not.
They're a Brazilian band, which I can't take any credit for this. Justin, the guy who plays drums in our band, showed me this record. It's pretty insane, I have to admit. It's amazing. But I think that song would be perfect because it's kind of trippy in a very calming way. You never feel out of control. And I think if I just needed something to help me cool out a little bit to maybe go to bed and also tilt me towards a little bit of positivity, this is the tune for you.
That's perfect. It touches on a lot of bases. My mood is, or my song choice is, I think might fit quite well based on how you described it. Mine is I Can Hear the Grass Grow by The Move.
Whoa.
This is a 1967 kind of psych proto, kind of like psych freak beat, psych pop band. And it's just, it's to me, it's kind of the perfect 60s anthem, should be the 60s anthem. You know, it's got a great line. My head's attracted to a magnetic wave of sound with the streams of colored circles making their way around. And I think this speaks to what Anthony's going through. And I hope he can find some inspiration in this time, if anything. you know, rather than just kind of spiral into a horror adaptation of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. So best of luck, brother. What about you, Pedro? You wanna
thoughts and prayers? Yes. The song I picked is Hallucinating by Elohim, for nice. Obvious reasons. But I picked the mariachi version because I just feel like that makes it just gives it like a little extra twist of weirdness. Like you're staring down the toaster and then you just hear the mariachi trumpets come in. Yeah, the song's just all about hallucinating and tripping out and just sort of living in that space.
You should have gone after Max. That would have been a really nice transition from Brazil to Mexico.
Sounds like a pretty druggy playlist.
lots of different people can enjoy this one.
Right. Who needs drugs when you can deprive yourself of sleep?
Yeah, stay up for a week.
And go to Hollywood Boulevard and stare at the, what did he say? The Spider-Man fighting the Pikachu or...
Oh, it's Joker fighting Pikachu.
The minion with the head wasn't off, smoking.
Yeah, wasn't he at like Madame Tussauds also or something like that? I don't know.
Oy. Well, we wish you all the best.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Indeed. Well, with that, do you have a mood of your own? And hopefully not sleep-deprived and driving. If so, leave us a message by calling or texting the Tunes and Tumblers hotline at 626-604-6477. Why not tell us what your self-care day looks like after a week of insomnia and talking toaster ovens? Your favorite artist may get to hear all about it on air. And with that, I guess, do you have anything to plug, Max?
I mean, I would guess we're up here plugging the record, right?
indeed.
That's what I would plug. It's coming October 15th.
Nice. October 15th, folks. Mark your calendar. Inform your rooster, you know, who makes alarms for you to be prepared for that date, for the drop date. The merch game of Wilderado folks is strong as well. I've never seen so many t-shirts in one place that I wanted to buy. tell us about the WROK shirt. Was Wilderado going to have a radio station?
I don't see why not, but there's no plans for that. I mean, really, we are one of the luckiest bands in the world to have the drummer is, he does all our design, and he's just really good at it. And I think something that's fun for us to do is just try to think of different things that Wilderado could be and make a shirt about that. So that's what WROK was, just a Wilderado radio station. But yeah, we'll spitball that, and Justin will come back with a design, or just come up with a design out of nowhere on his own when it's time for new merch.
If you had a Spotify playlist of stuff the band liked, like WROK, of just running songs that you liked, I would follow the shit out of that. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, that's cool. Right. See, the idea is you come up with random stuff that at some point you just could actually make. Like drywall business, we've been playing with that, Wilderado drywall, because when we were building this wall, we broke a lot of drywall.
Oh no! You guys should start a line of like rain boots with all like the flooding that you have going on in your life.
Yeah, that's wow.
Has this ever happened
that would
to
actually
you?
Be slick. Yeah, dang, I like that idea.
Well, boy,
I'll only take 10%. Thanks.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
Well, boy, lots to look forward to with Wilderado. I want to thank you again for coming on, Max. We really appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Man, thank you, guys. This has been fun for me. It was honestly really nice having you here when that disaster happened. I know we don't know each other very well. We know each other better now, but it was kind of like just two calm floating heads in the corner of the room keeping me from totally going bizarre.
Well, boy, yeah, what?
Glad we could help.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Well,
there was one moment when I heard you guys say, oh shit, I just saw him run across the screen.
There he goes.
There he goes. He's fast.
Oh my gosh.
Cool, man. Well, real, it means a lot. It's pretty cool that you guys listen to the record. Thanks for thinking through it. Pedro coming up with a cocktail for it. Means a lot for
absolutely.
Real that you guys listen and take the time to do that, because, yeah, we spend some time on it. Not everybody goes that in depth to it, so I really do appreciate it.
Yeah. Of course,
our
my
pleasure,
friend.
Man.
And thank you for listening to Tunes and Tumblers. Tunes and Tumblers is an Atwood Magazine podcast and a member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Be sure to follow us on every platform. Also, please rate and subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps us a lot. Also, if you go into the episode description and scroll to the very bottom, you'll find a link where you can support the pod. Every dollar goes to keeping the lights on and getting supplies to make these delicious drinks. Tunes and Tumblers was produced, as always, by Drew Franzblau. Our theme song is by New New Girlfriend. Our hashtag Moo Jingle comes to us from Jacob Jeffries and Jesse McGinty. And until next time, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.